I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And we have the podcast Office Ladies. Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories and lots of laughs.
Follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back. It's the Midday Show.
Yeah.
Hugh Douglas, Joe Giglio.
This is a rough day, man, for everybody. And I know everybody's upset. I just want to be clear. I'm not trying to do anything to make anybody upset. Because I was just talking to Joe about this. And this is hard to fathom for all of us. Because I was just thinking, think about the players that not just got drafted here, but traded here, spent a small amount of time here, that are still here. You know what I mean? You got Seth. We were talking to Seth. Seth splits time between here and Arizona.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? You got Ike's back in the area. I came back. John Ritchie's from this area. You know, and you talk about the plethora of players that are still here. Who is it? Jason Avant stays here. Bear Brooks. Like, this is a great place to be. This is, like, I left Georgia, Atlanta, to come back here. And when I left, people were like, why are you going back? I mean, it's Philly. You know, it's home. You know, so it's a hard pill to swallow, right? But for whatever reason, he didn't want to be here, you know? And that's the reality of it. You know, I mean, you know, when you're dating and you're dealing with folks, like I deal with this all the time. I'm like, why can't I get a date? You know, I'm awesome. Look how awesome I am.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? it's one of those things.
My mind is blown every day. I'm like, why is Hugh Douglas single?
I'm just saying, why am I single?
Well, you know, self-reflecting happened.
I'm just saying, why am I single? Because I'm awesome. But I mean, hey, it is what it is. Everybody missing out on all of this. You know what I mean? So, but it's just one of those things you just can't explain.
So we can't. Yeah, there it is.
It ain't nothing about doing the poor. I'm just saying.
We can't explain it. But maybe it isn't that hard to explain. Earlier in the show, we played the cut of Chris Long talking about how it's like a sports car. You lease, you don't buy it.
Yeah.
There are a lot of receivers like this. Now this one may be unique, right? Because they won and he put up numbers and he still didn't want to be here. But Hugh, I don't know if there's any position in sports like receiver where there's a few outliers, like the Jerry Rices, Larry Fitzgeralds, that will play their whole career, one spot for the most part, right? And I mean, Jerry moved at the end.
Fitz was the only one, the receivers I could think of, he's the only one.
Now, Jerry was very old, right? Yeah. He moved around. But I mean, he was very old. What I mean is, like, they're not moving on because they're divas. They're moving on just because whatever, right? But they play most of their career in one place. But think about the receivers that don't. T.O. bounced around a bunch of places. Randy Moss, a bunch of places. Stephon Diggs is going to be on what team now? Vikings, and then he went to Buffalo, then it's New England, Texans. I mean, this is going to be his 15 where he signs this year. Antonio Brown was his own thing. Tyreek Hill's going to be on team number 3 this year if he plays. Brandon Marshall must have played for 5 teams. I just think receivers are flaky. And then at some point, it's just like, oh, we just got to move off of this guy. Yeah.
We do have an A.J. Brown camp update.
Do we?
Video going around of Drake May hitting him on the sideline. One-handed grab.
Away we go.
One-handed grab.
Okay. By the way, joint practices, Rabel said, August 19th and 20th up there against the Eagles.
We going?
Yeah, we're going. The event of the summer.
Are we going to boo?
I'm going to wear my lungs out.
Hold on. No, we're going up there to boo him. I mean, that's...
No, I'm just saying.
Why do you think we're going?
No, I'm just making sure. I just want to know the plan.
I plan to be there booing A.J. Brown until they kick us out and revoke our media credential.
I just wanted to know the plan. I just want to know what we're doing.
Can we get kicked out of Patriots practice?
Probably. Well, you know, that would be pretty legendary.
You know what? That's actually the plan now. We'll do what we have to get
Sports
kicked out.
Sports radio hosts really get kicked out of it.
We'll have TK on standby when they rip the cord out and say, get out of here.
I'm just going to say it all depends on how, where I'm at as far as, you know, this probationary period that I'm on.
Well, that's up to you more than anything.
He'll start calling names.
I'm just saying, it all depends on where we at. So, like, everybody asking me to recklessly speculate about what's going on, don't do that.
No, but what you need to do is, here's your task when we go up there. You put the jumper cables on Quinyon, DeGene, or Woolen to get in AJ's face.
I don't think I'm going to have to do that. Because it's one of those things. He's the enemy now. I mean, that shouldn't be hard.
No,
to do.
But you could just whisper to Quinion, I heard AJ was talking crap on you.
Yeah, just, you know
he doesn't think you're a good number one corner, or whatever you want to say.
And that, in those immortal words of the great poet Project Pat, if you ain't from my hood, you can get from around here.
Yeah.
It's kind of like
I use that phrase all the time.
Like, if you ain't from my hood, you can get from around here.
Yeah. I pretty much wake up and listen to that Project Pat every day.
I like that. All right. Before we go any further, can we hear from AJ Brown? Did the interview with Maria Taylor, the one where he had the Patriots rug in his house?
He said, I had this for a couple years.
Yeah, while he was on the Eagles.
He walked into that one. I think he was cap on that one.
Yeah, maybe. All right, here's AJ on Super Bowl 57 as they went through the timeline of his time with the Eagles. Interesting the way he framed why they couldn't win that game against the Chiefs.
Let's start with Super Bowl 57.
Okay.
Because, yeah, it's a tough one.
Yeah.
But it was the beginning of the success, or really trying to understand how great that team could be. Mm-hmm. Take me back to that season, what you learned about yourself, what you learned about your team.
You know, that season, man, we were in the flow state. And everything just felt so easy, and you didn't really notice, you know, because we were just playing so effortless, and, you know, guys were having fun and celebrating, and, you know, things were just really too good to be true. Mm-hmm. You know, everything was just rolling. It's like, yeah, we really doing it. And, you know, the Super Bowl game, man, that game was still incredible, you know. Mm-hmm. Going back and watching, you know, back and forth. But that day, they still didn't stop us, mm-hmm. you know. And a mistake here and there that cost us the game. But, you know, that happened in football. But that was just, it's like, dang, man. Like, we were right there.
Mm-hmm.
But it really just propelled us to tell us that, man, we got there. We can go there again.
Subtle shot at Jalen Hurts there?
You know what's funny? If we recall, because now we're going back in the archives, mm-hmm. and we're listening to everything that's being said, didn't he say something to the effect that at the end of the game, he said, I
Sirianni.
Knew we were going to lose.
When they kicked the field goal in the
third
quarter.
He said he knew they were going to lose or something like that.
He said a mistake here and there. I think he's directly referring to Jalen and Sirianni.
I agree.
Fumble and the twist of kick.
Because I do remember that. He said, I knew we were going to lose.
Well, offensively, how many mistakes did they make? I mean,
Not too many.
They fumble. And, I mean.
Otherwise, I think they must have scored on every drive.
I mean, they were amazing. Yeah. I mean, they were perfect except that drive, basically. I mean, that has to be what he saw. Well, he's been on record before, like Hugh saying, about the field going for the field goal. He knew they were going to lose at that point.
Well, the defense is also a disaster.
Well, that's very true. There was one incompletion from Mahomes in the second half, and it was a throw out of the back of the end zone on purpose. So.
He said, I knew we were going to. That's crazy.
Well, he speaks his mind.
Well,
he does.
I mean, yeah, and the thing is, nobody had a problem with it then, but that's like, yeah.
Well, he was also playing better.
Yeah. I mean, they go hand in hand.
They do.
When you balling, you can talk all the trash you want to talk. That's just, you know, laughing at the bad jokes and stuff. It's kind of like the same thing.
It's exactly that. All right, we got more from AJ Brown. This one on why some of the messaging he put out there, he put it out there. Let's hear AJ Brown on this. Kind of interesting.
Sorry, hold on.
Okay.
Oh, here we go.
You mentioned the picture that was getting painted. Did you feel as though the picture was making you out to be a villain in some sorts of ways?
I wouldn't say a villain because some of the things that was done, it was done purposely to give us a push. Mm-hmm. You know, I know if I say something in the media, I know it's going to propel us to work on it because now everybody's talking about it. Mm-hmm. You know, so it's like, are we going to really, we're going to fix it or not? You know, we can't keep saying it. We can't keep saying it's the standard. And we're not trying to truly get better. I'm not saying that we work, but I know if you say what you need to say in the media, which I won't do that anymore, mm-hmm. But it gives everything legs mm-hmm. and legs to push and to push everybody to be better. Because pressure isn't always a bad thing. It can also be a good thing, too. It just depends on how you look at it. And we had guys in the locker room, which was, honestly, I felt like it was okay to do because we had guys in the locker room who were men, mm-hmm. you know? And it's like, yeah, well, you know, I know I need to do this. I need to do that, including myself.
You know what struck me from that? There was a lot of talk over the last couple of years with AJ when he would say something kind of cryptic that some people thought that maybe we blew it up too much, right? Like, we don't really know what he means. It's just an Instagram post or whatever. That's BS.
He just confirmed that he was
doing it to get everyone to talk about it. He was doing that. He wanted us
to make a big deal out of it.
Right. He wanted it to be a big deal, right? Because if it's a big deal, then
that's why
it gets,
I called it to the show.
It gets back to the way that it's like a hamster wheel, right? Like it goes round and round. He says something. we all react to it as fans. It becomes a big story. So then when the people go in the locker room, the reporters that are there every day, they're going to ask questions about the biggest story, and then it just kind of goes and goes and goes. So, but he started the hamster wheel.
Ooh. You know, that kind of maybe since we being messy, because this is the road we're going down. We are being a bunch of cackling hens right now. That's what we're doing. We are gossiping. Definitely gossiping.
He's the one talking.
Yeah. No, but now we are in full gossip mode.
What do you got?
The Eagles kind of did the same thing when they went to the paper and said that Jalen was uncoachable
now,
or whatever it is.
There's a common denominator here.
The wheels are spinning.
Yeah, so since we've been messy.
Now we're thinking.
Since we want to be
here
messy.
Here now.
Yeah, we've been recklessly speculating.
Here, let's listen
to this.
Glad
you brought that up.
Jeff McClain, what he understands about how the Eagles think Jalen Hurts thinks.
A lot of the people in that building feel like he's not listening. And from what I understand, like this past season, and this goes with Kevin, because Kevin's a really nice guy, maybe... You know, he just kind of defers to Jalen, and Jalen just won a Super Bowl, was MVP of the Super Bowl. He's got this huge contract. Really, it was only at this point, it was like only Nick that Jalen kind of really, really listened to. And they feel that the only way to get through Jalen, and from what I understand, this is why AJ Brown tweeted what he tweeted in October, the only way to get to him is through the media, or social media, or through those of us who report on the team. And that's what's happening now. And that's why, you know, we're hearing this probably now more than ever. And he's going into this contract year that is only full guaranteed. It's like if he's not going to listen, this is the way to get him to listen. He will listen if there's an ESPN story, 5,000 word story. He will listen if the Inquirer has this, that, or the other thing about him or reports about, you know, his fascination with Michael Jordan and how he views himself in that realm, and how now how guys are now teasing him and calling him Little Jordan in the locker room.
On the Powers That Be podcast, we examine the players and currents behind today's most consequential decisions. Join us, listen to the Powers That Be wherever you get your podcasts.
Because he thinks that he's primarily responsible for the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I feel real gossipy now. I feel dirty. I feel a little dirty.
This by feels all means, real. Sir.
This just feels real mean girlish now. Now we're in mean girls territory.
But does this explain some of AJ's behavior? He's trying to explain it to us.
He did. I mean, but it just now it feels a little mean girlish. It feels a little high schoolish. It feels very high schoolish. But I can't talk to you directly. So I'm going to have cryptic tweets in the paper and whatnot.
It also makes me feel so old. Is this the way 20-year-olds act?
Is this what happens?
I'm going to be honest with you guys. If one of my friends or any of you guys here were frustrated with me and put something down on social media, first of all, I probably wouldn't even see it. And if I did, I wouldn't care. What I would do is go up to you and be like, what the hell?
What are we doing? What are we doing?
And then let's talk about it. The idea that you're going to motivate me by putting out something on Instagram or Twitter, I will say this.
And I'm going to be vague, a little bit vague, but in my business venture.
Recklessly vague?
Yeah, I'm gonna be recklessly vague, but in my business venture.
The best talk show hosts are recklessly vague, I always say.
It's a lot of people that when you directly, you know, you come to them, it's like you know, it was like the story where a guy said, you know, he was telling everybody, I owe him money, right? So I was like, yo, if I owe you money, that's a phone call.
Right. Yeah.
And I'm like, hey, and I told him, I'm not going to say his name, but I'm like, hey, man, if I owe you money, just call me and let me know. And he sent me a text, hey, I'm going to call you when I get done. Still waiting for that phone call. And that was like 2 months ago.
Yeah.
Nobody wants to have those direct conversations. That I will say that as an older individual, these younger individuals, not all of them, I don't want to paint that brush with all the young men, but they don't know how to have those real conversations. It's like they don't want to be confrontational. But sometimes in order to get the message across, it has to be a direct message. Like, and I don't understand that. And that's what this feels like. You had months to sit there. I feel like this. If you're as cool with AJ and Jalen, if they're as cool as you say they are, that's a conversation that should have been had. We should have never got wind of any of this. We should have never got wind of any of this. And now it's just, you know, it's just now we're putting the pieces together. We're starting to connect the dots. And it's just, it's really sounds ridiculous.
That's a good word for it.
It really sounds ridiculous that we've gotten to this point where we had to move on because you guys couldn't communicate. One guy, it feels like couldn't communicate in the right way because, you know, like Brandon said, one is trying. AJ's not trying to hear it. So I don't understand. It's crazy. It's crazy.
Well, it's just, yeah, of all the reasons for a duo to break up. I mean, you go back to 2022 and you think about Jalen throwing the ball to AJ. What did AJ have that year? 1,400 yards?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, like, you thought, and think about their ages at that point, right? Jalen is 22 or 23, and AJ's 25, and you think, okay, these two are going to break every Eagles record together. They're going to be together for the next 8 to 10 years. They're going to be the best receiver quarterback duo in the history of the franchise. Now, they did a lot together. I'm not saying it didn't work out, but like you would thought then, Hugh, this would last for a very long time just based on their ages and trajectory, and 4 years later, we're sitting here today, and the guy's catching passes from Drake May in a Patriots practice. Let's go to Andy in Deptford up on WIP. What's up, Andy?
Andy.
Oh, Julio.
Andy, what's
up?
Are we live?
Are we hot? What's up, guys?
What's going on,
man? Tell us.
What's up?
Yo, man, it just blows my mind around town here. Like, you know, when our athletes leave, we always seem to kick them when they're on their way out the door. I mean, we all know most breakups, whether it's a relationship, your favorite athlete, whatever the case may be, most breakups don't end well, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, and AJ did some asinine things, whether it was, you know, the whole book on the sideline. I mean, anybody that plays sports knows, I don't care what level you're on. If you're reading a damn book on the sideline, that ain't cool. Like, that's a distraction. So the whole book thing, or, you know, him quitting on the playoffs, like, we can't forget that, but we also can't forget that A.J. Brown is arguably the best all-time Eagle receiver. In a town where all we ever wanted was elite receivers. I'm 44. We didn't have much in my lifetime. The guy's got most receptions all-time in the season, most yards in the season, only Eagle to ever go over 1,000 yards 4 years in a, 4 seasons in a row. Right? So, I mean, ninth all-time in Eagles yards. Like, let's just not act like, you know, he ain't been nothing here.
He was an awesome player in this uniform.
He's the greatest Eagles receiver ever. Like, I don't see – I mean, you can debate it with Howard Carmichael, some of the old heads, but modern-day Eagle is no comparison. Like, I mean, Deshaun Jackson, Jeremy Maclin, I mean, them guys, like, it's no comparison. But, like I said, it didn't end well. You know, but, I mean, the best with AJ, let him go do his thing in New England. We're not missing him. I think overall with the receiver core, we're a little bit stronger because we know he's gotten a little bit older. I mean, last year, what was he running, a slant or a go route?
Yep.
It wasn't like he was running the whole tree of routes. I mean, so, you know, I think we'll be all right. You know, I think overall we're going to be stronger collectively.
I agree. I think the receiver room is just overall top to bottom better than it was. And maybe has been in a very long time.
Yeah, I think you said something just like objectively incorrect, though.
Which was?
Most like relationships in the NFL, whether it's player departing from a team, they end just fine. Like they end perfectly fine. I mean, how many players come through here and leave, and we have no issues with them? Wish them well, whatever. Had a good time with them. Like it's there's a select few, and they're very loud that don't end bad, and they end messy. Like we remember those more.
Yeah.
But the majority, like very large majority of relationships in the NFL, end just fine. And we're not kicking AJ while he's down. He's kicking us. They were laughing at us this whole offseason. About you're a patriot and winking at dudes, and now the rug and
dudes on dudes podcast.
I mean, like it's nonsense. He's laughing at us on his way out, so I think people are well within the rights to be upset about that.
I think the producers digging too much into that. Most breakups in the NFL don't end well. You can go with T.O., you can go with Matthew Stafford, you can go with Baker, you can go all the way down the line.
Well, I think the caller's making too big of a thing out of nothing, Andy, and you know what my name is.
Well, the Stafford, so, Andy, good phone call, we appreciate it. I think the Stafford one actually kind of did.
No, it did. It ended fine.
Now, like,
wait a minute, with Detroit?
Yeah.
Yeah, it did, because he did a commercial
He asked for a trade out, but they almost felt like, hey, we're sorry for giving you such crap for 10 years. We're going to get, and they got something back. I mean, they've been in contention since the moment he left.
Large majority of these end fine.
I don't think Detroit's a good example for the caller because.
No, T.O. is. T.O.'s a good one.
Yeah.
T.O. ended bad.
Yeah. But even T.O.'s come back.
I'm saying there's a louder few for sure. Like, we remember the Antonio Brown blowout. Right, and like, right. We remember all that stuff. But just, I mean, statistically, how many players are on an NFL team and leave every year?
Well,
and everything's fine.
So I just, well, another thing he said in there, which is an interesting debate, that he said he would rank A.J. Brown as the best Eagles receiver of all time, right? And he rolled off some numbers, and he's ninth in all that, right, the yards. And he said you could make the debate against Harold. So we're living in today. I'm going to make a pretty, I think, not even over-the-top prediction. The best Eagles receiver of all time is the guy that's going to replace A.J. Brown as the number one.
Schmitty.
When it's all said and done, DeVonta Smith is going to be the best Eagles receiver of all time. Now, you may say, I thought A.J. at his peak was a better player. That's fine. We can have that debate. But do you know right now, DeVonta Smith is 15 yards behind A.J. on the all-time Eagles receiver list? He's going to have that by the first quarter of week one.
Mm. How old are they going to feed him?
How old is DeVonta Smith? He was drafted in 2021. He's probably 20,
I want to say 27.
27? Okay.
And so he takes great care of himself. About it. Yeah,
he strikes me as a Marvin Harrison type that he's going to play for a long time. Right now, Harold Carmichael has the record for Eagles receiving yards at 8,978. So that is about 4,000 more yards for DeVonta Smith. He is about 204 catches away. He could have that by 2.5 years from now.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to end, and they both won a championship together. Right? So it's not like AJ's going to have more titles here. AJ, I mean, DeVonta, if they win another one, could have more titles. I think when it's all said and done, and this is 5 years from now, the number one receiver in Eagles history is going to be the guy that replaces A.J. Brown.
And you know what? To go even further, I feel like with all of this A.J. Brown controversy and the Eagles listening to this and Coach Mannion knowing that he has to get this offense going, I think the chemistry between Jalen and DeVonta has the potential of being better because they had the chemistry in college. And there's going to be a push to try to move on from the whole A.J. Brown
thing.
Yeah, of course. It's a chance that he could have a hell of a season this year. I mean, that's not out of the realm of possibility, especially when you talk about how different this offense is potentially going
to
look.
Yeah, I would bet on him to have a bigger.
He got gears too, man. Like DeVonta's fast. Like he's fast. I mean, I'm not saying nothing that don't nobody already know, but if you get creative in this offense and you allow him to give him space to create, there's no telling what he could do in this offense.
Yeah, he's going to be the number one target, get the most snaps. I think he's going to have a great year. 215-592-9494. That's how you hop aboard. All right, coming up, your phone calls. We'll get to you people. And Mike Vrabel spoke up in New England this morning before their practice as they welcome A.J. Brown to town. We'll hear from Vrabel next. Boy, we hear from Vrabel a lot on this show for some weird reason. Every time he talks, we got to talk about it. All right. Vrabel next. Your calls. Midday show. Sports Radio 94 WIP. The world's biggest soccer tournament has arrived, and you could trade the entire tournament on Kalshi. Kalshi, you could trade every match from the opening stage all the way to the final. And as you look right now, Spain is trading at 16.7% to win the World Cup. That means, how about this? A $100 trade on Spain right now would net you $585 if they win soccer's biggest prize. On Kalshi, you're trading against peers in a live market, meaning there's no house. And as the probability changes, you could buy in and out of your position. For a limited time, download the Kalshi app and use code GIGLIO to get $10 when you trade $10. KALSHI, Kalshi, trade on anything.
Hey, this is Richard Deitch, the host of the Sports Media Podcast. If you're interested in what's happening with all the places where you consume sports, the Sports Media Podcast has you covered.
I've been turning down interviews all week. Hoda Kotb reached out, Oprah, George Stephanopoulos. So I said no. I was booked on the Deitch Podcast before the Taylor Swift phenomenon. I must live up to my responsibility.
Listen wherever you get your podcasts.